The Angsty Christian Podcast is a mature show that deep dives into the problematic aspects of the modern church. Some content might not be suitable for all listeners. Content warnings can be found in the episode description. Hello and welcome back to the Angsty Christian Podcast. This is your chaotic bisexual dad, Dad Neil. Fun fact about me, Adrian Gibbs and I messaged me the other week and sent me a coffee recipe. And it was from his espresso tonic that he was making last year. And he's like, bro, just get all of these ingredients. Trust me. And I haven't drank anything else. I got this espresso attachment for my AeroPress. So like it makes my AeroPress actually make espresso. And so I pour that over some ice and some elderflower tonic water. And then Trader Joe's has like these like dried sweetened orange slices. So I drop one of those in and then use like orange bitters like that you would use for like a cocktail, like specifically like an old fashioned. And it is like sweet, a little sour, very refreshing, and it gives me the caffeine energy that I need in order to live. So that's been my fun fact. I've been really enjoying that. So shout out to Adrian. You rock. Yeah.
Nice. Thank you, Adrian. Hey, everybody. It's me, your local health inspector, Jake. Make sure to tidy up that kitchen because I'm coming right around the corner. Fun fact about me this week is that, oh gosh, which one do I want to do? Okay, yes. Do we want to do a really, really funny fun fact, or do we want to do a...
Do both. Double special, start off with the...
I can't do both.
Yeah, you can.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, well, one person, and then really funny. And then really funny.
Okay. All right, one is that my dad made me a sandwich the other day, and it's still in the fridge. I have not eaten it. This is not that fun of a fact. I just, like, my dad put so much love and attention into the sandwich. I even requested less cheese, and he complied, and there's so much love in that sandwich, and I just have not dived into it at all. And I kind of feel bad, but at the same time, I've been eating other stuff, so it's been all right. Okay, and then the more fun fact is that I went to LA Pride this weekend.
Hey,
yeah, I went to LA Pride this weekend. But the group that I went with didn't leave until 5 minutes before the parade started.
Okay.
And we were 45 minutes away, about an hour away. We didn't actually get to the parade route until 11:40. And even then, we never really made it to the parade route itself because we stopped like right past where the parade ended instead of actually going to see the parade proper. It was fun.
So, did you get to do any of the pride stuff or...
I mean, yeah, there was plenty to do. Like, I mean, we saw, like, after, like, the official parade route, like, the floats still had to go somewhere, so we were, like, right where the floats would continue downward to kind of pull off and stop and unload. It was really cool. So for a first little bit, we thought, oh, the parade route is still going down this way. It's, like, it's still going. Only to find out that, no, this is where they're, like, coming off and parking to unload and everything, so it was fun. But then there was like a bunch of booths afterwards that you could go to, and there was that one guy promoting a dispensary down there, handing out free blunts. I didn't take the blunt. I did not take the blunt, but I did take the lighter. He handed me a lighter, and I'm happy about that.
That's awesome. Damn. Oh, and by the time this episode releases, the Saturday following it will be OC Pride.
OC Pride!
Come out, all you Orange Countyans. I will be there. I'm going to also go say hi to my friends at the APAIT booth. So go check it out. They're cool.
Get it? Come out?
Yeah, come out. Come on, don't be a bitch. Just kidding. It's not safe to always come out.
I just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
No, phraseology. Play on words. Extra fun.
Well, hi, I'm Bonnie. I am the podcast looks like a cinnamon roll but could actually kill you. And ooh. A fun fact about me is that yesterday I spent $40 on black hair dye.
Nice.
It is packaged as black hair dye. Says it is semi-permanent hair color. It is not actually hair dye. But now I'm too embarrassed to go back and return it at Sally Beauty because the cashier looked really cool and I don't want to embarrass myself by not knowing hair in front of her. So I don't know what I'm going to do about that. But yeah, research the products you buy before you buy them.
Honestly, I have like the type of anxiety that like doesn't allow me to make purchases without at least 20 hours of research.
Yeah, I should have.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
No, it happens. I feel you. I also I bought a new bag this week for like camera stuff. It's like a sling bag. And the company that I wanted it from doesn't have any. And I messaged them. They're like, oh, we're not going to have any for a while. But I'm going to like Sacramento in a couple weeks. I'm going to Big Bear next week or next month. Like I want this now for when I go on hikes, you know? And so like this one bag that I saw, like, it was just so many mixed reviews, and I just said, fuck it. And, you know, I almost made a mistake, similar to the hair dye, but I didn't, thankfully. But, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I hope your bag works out. My hair dye won't.
Well, we'll get you new hair dye.
I will get new hair dye. It'll be fine. I'll look very emo in time for Proud.
Yay. Speaking of, I want to paint my nails black. I know it's basic, but, like, painting my nails, even just black, is pretty big for me, you know?
Do it.
I won't do that for Pride.
It's just like $5 at Hot Topic.
Yeah, but then I have to go to Hot Topic, and that like just brings in so much PTSD, you know?
Yeah. What happened at the Hot Topic to give you PTSD?
The PTXD.
Oh.
You know how like teen kids used to always do like the XD faces?
I still do those. Oh.
Yes, I was going to call up Bonnie, but I was like, I'm Bonnie, so does it beat the XD faces?
I'm not ashamed, okay?
No, XD. It's fine. I used to do XD all the time. It just reminds me of a time when I used XD faces.
I think we all had our RAR XD phase, and I think eventually we will all move past it and be better because of it.
Yeah, one day.
Or not.
Yeah. Well, shall we head into our topic?
No.
Head into the top. Okay.
Well, I'm going to also mention, I'm probably going to put it in here. And so I say that, and you'll probably hear it now. But we asked some of y'all to submit some audios of your stories related to our topic, which is the rapture. And so, you know, here
I hardly know her.
Thank you. Here are some audios. I was waiting for Jake to say that. But here are some of your stories.
So I first learned about the rapture when I was in middle school, so about sixth grade. And needless to say, it was a pretty terrifying thing to learn about. And no one at school would stop talking about it. Like, all of the teachers and most of the students, and especially my English and Bible teacher, she would always just be like, oh, when the rapture happens, this, or when Jesus comes back, that. I remember this one time where she was like, if you're left behind in the rapture, then chances are that you're gonna have to die for Christ during the Great Tribulation, which is a pretty fucking terrifying thing to hear if you're 11 or 12 years old. And then another time, her husband, who was the principal of the school that I went to, came into our class with pictures of a blood moon, saying that It was supposed to happen in a few days, and apparently it was a sign of Jesus coming back. And yeah, I could pull out stories upon stories upon stories, but the main thing was that I couldn't tell anyone about how scared I was for this to apparently imminently happen, because I was scared that they would shame me into, like, being guilty about wanting to stay on earth and live my life instead of being taken up to heaven while other people who weren't Christian had to suffer just because of their beliefs.
Hey there, angsty listeners. Gabe here, the same Gabe who brings you those petty prayers every episode. Just thought I would like to share my own rapture story. So I was first introduced to the whole concept of the rapture in religion class when I was in the sixth grade attending a private Christian school. And our religion teacher, who oddly enough was also our science teacher, which is an observation that I find pretty funny in retrospect, he told us that any day now, Jesus is going to come back, like a thief in the night, is how he phrased it. And he's going to come back to snatch away all Christian believers, both living and dead, and take them into the sky to meet the Lord. And just the thought of Jesus returning in the present day at any moment when I'm least expecting it, to take me away to heaven to meet God, that just absolutely terrified me, to say the least. I kept picturing the scene from The Prince of Egypt when the angel of death passes through Egypt to kill all the firstborn, and I wondered if the rapture was going to play out similar to that, and not being able to predict exactly when it was going to happen made it a lot worse. Like, I lived almost every day for a very long time in like paralyzing fear that the end of the world was just around the corner, and whether or not I would be one of the lucky ones who would be raptured up into heaven. So, like, every night, almost every night, I would like pray, like, really, really long prayers, just incessantly asking God to forgive me of my sins, to tell him I'm sorry for any of the bad things that I did, any of the mistakes that I made, because, like, I wasn't sure if I was going to heaven or not. So I was just trying my best to be ready, because my biggest fear was that the rapture could happen while I'm in bed, and I could either be whisked away to heaven in my sleep, or I would wake up and discover that everyone else had been raptured except for me. And even nowadays, knowing that the rapture is complete and utter baloney, the threat of the apocalypse is still something that looms large over everything for me, especially since it feels like we're experiencing unprecedented historical events every 5 minutes.
All right, so this week, you know, over the last year and a half, that we have been doing this podcast, we have had a lot of people who have asked us questions related to the rapture, and it's come up a lot of other times. So we thought we'd spend some time talking about that, you know, talking about, there's that big thing that was circling around, like, I think Twitter and then on TikTok a while ago, like the rapture anxiety. Which is valid, you know, so it's anxiety related to the rapture, as simple as that is. And then, also, like, what the hell rapture actually means, where it came from, why it's there, all that other stuff. So we figured, you know, we'd just sit here and talk about that.
Let's talk about it. The rapture and how we hardly know her.
True.
Yeah. So, believe it or not, My first experience with the entire Rapture story was actually with the awful, awful movies that were made back in the, I can't remember if it was the late 90s, early aughts, somewhere around that time. There were some awful, awful movies based on the Tim LaHaye novels. Based off the awful novels, the Left Behind series. And so I thought that, oh, this looks like an action movie. I usually don't watch action movies. What's going on here? And turns out I was pretty much allowed to stay in the room because it was a Bible story. Although my mom wasn't too comfortable with it because it's kind of a dark instance of a, you know, what could possibly happen with the essentially the acts of revelation and the incoming apocalypse or and what have you. So I was watching it on the TV and I'm like, that looks cool. What is this? And my mom's like, oh, Left Behind. And I'm like, okay, that sounds all right. Then I come to find out that my school library, I was in elementary school, by the way, had the Left Behind books inside the library. But not the normal Left Behind books. There was a different kind of Left Behind book. It was called Left Behind the Kids. And it was all about teenagers, and anyone who was above the appropriate age to know whether or not they wanted to accept Jesus, I guess. Even though they never specified what age it was, they were very extra vague about it. But I think the youngest person was 13? Yeah, the youngest person was like 13 in the book. I read the first book. I had no interest in reading the second book, even in my most religious and studious days. It was basically talking about like how this one girl is all like, oh, she can't be Christian. She denies God because she goes out and smokes cigarettes and drinks some beers.
Isn't she also instead a prostitute?
Not in the kids one. Not in the kids one.
In the original, I'm pretty sure it is. Like, she's a sinner, essentially, is what they're saying.
Yeah. But in the kids one, basically, it's like, this person's parents believe in Christ, so both of them were raptured or killed in a plane crash, and then had to deal with the existential crisis, or one of them, their parents died, and he knew for a fact that they were not Christian. When their parents died in a plane crash that was a result of the pilots of that plane getting raptured. And someone had to deal with the existential crisis of knowing that this was the rapture, knowing that this was because they didn't believe, like, knowing that everyone who was left behind didn't believe in God, and then had to deal with the fact that they were his parents were guaranteed in hell and had to live with that fact, and move on believing in a God who essentially damned his parents. What? No. That's
so fucked up.
It's so fucked up. No. 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 And I was in the kids' version of the book.
That's so stupid. Like, I have never read the books. I've never watched the movie. I didn't, like, I've heard about the rapture in church. My first recollection of it was in the Simpsons episode, where they essentially did an episode where I think like the Simpsons fell asleep during church and everyone else got raptured, but they didn't because they were asleep at church, which was sinful. And so then they had to, like, you know, they went through the whole thing of hell on earth, the devil there and all that shit. It was like their Haunted House of Horrors episode,
Treehouse
or whatever,
of Horrors, yeah.
Treehouse of Horrors. It was a Treehouse of Horrors. I think it was a Treehouse of Horrors episode. And I remember being like, oh no, in church I have to pay attention because if everyone gets raptured, then I'm going to be left behind. Oh, I can't fall asleep. And like, that didn't actually work for me at all because I still fell asleep or I still didn't absolutely nothing and didn't pay any attention in church. But Yeah, like that was my first recollection of it. Now, when I've read through who the LaHays actually were, and they're actually kind of massive pieces of shit, Tim and Beverly LaHaye literally suck ass. Or sucked ass. Yeah, surprise. And like the whole Left Behind thing, like where it came from, like the guy's name is Raymond Steele or something like that, right? His last name is Steele. Which is like,
The most badass name for someone who's a suitor.
Yeah, and well, it's like, I wouldn't even say it's badass. At this point, it's just cringy for me. Cause it's like, oh, look at this big white buff man who's a man's man, and this woman who's like super hot, and she tempts him just because she's hot, and she has to cover herself up because she's hot. Like, it's just like the same, it's just misogynistic. It's, I think he like got left behind because he had an affair or something like that, or thought
he,
about
he was woman. He was in an airplane and he was having an affair with one of the flight attendants. The only reason why I know this,
she wasn't a prostitute. Yeah. That's right. Okay.
So I should point out that there are multiple iterations of the Left Behind movies. There are three that were released between the year 2000 and 2005. Those were the Kirk Cameron Left Behind movies. They are as bad and as cheesy as it gets. Then in 2014, they just released a movie called Left Behind, starring Nicolas Cage.
Hell yeah.
And it was a tragedy piece about essentially about the rapture, but it still had that but Nicolas Cage played it like it was a like it was an action movie nightmare like scenario, where it was like this dude wasn't getting converted to Christianity afterwards. He was like, Nicolas Cage played it like he was betrayed by God, which was essentially what a lot of people would feel if they were, you know, essentially left behind on a rapture day like that.
So he played Ghost Rider, except it just didn't turn into Ghost Rider.
Exactly, yeah, essentially. So that's the way it was betrayed. He still had that affair. He was still a sinner. And then it was the girl who played the daughter. The daughter of Mr. Steele, I believe, Chloe Steele is her name, or something like that. Yeah. So. Basically, this character was just always like one of those atheists that always plays devil's advocate or whatever.
Oh,
like
God.
You know the stereo. Everyone
the
knows.
Stereotypes are so dumb.
Everyone knows the stereotypes that Christians come up with for people like this, like how you always have to be on guard because there's going to be these people like these that are always going to be willing to going to argue with you, and if you stumble even once, they'll prove themselves right, and you will not be good in the eyes of God or whatever. Some maybe bullshit
that's
like
why,
that.
Maybe that's why white older men always message me on Facebook or comment on my shit and tell me how I'm wrong.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah, so anyway, Nicolas Cage reboot. And then apparently there was another one in 2016 called Vanished Left Behind Next Generation. What? I'm looking at the Google page. This might not even be the right, like, hold on. I need to look at this movie. This has to be, like, the right one. Yep. Oh, no, it looks awful. Just looking at a small snippet of a trailer. Oh, no.
Add it to the list.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, we're gonna... Eventually, I want to watch all five of these movies and give them like, an honest, like, ACP review. I saw the one with Nicolas Cage, to completion, like, from beginning to end. I saw that in theaters, actually.
Oh, no. Why?
There is... When it comes to Christian propaganda movies, there's only one movie that I have watched that is worse than that, and that is Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas.
I mean, anything with Kirk Cameron is bad.
Kirk Cameron's just cringe.
Yeah.
True. But Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas is quite possibly, on top of like it being the worst Christian propaganda film that I've ever watched, it's probably one of the worst films that I've ever watched, period. I say film with a lowercase f. And that F stands for fuck you, Kirk Cameron.
Imagine being left behind and the only other person on Earth was Kirk Cameron.
No. Can Revelation be real except everyone goes to heaven except for Kirk Cameron? Thank you.
We'll talk about what Revelation actually means, but yes.
Well, yeah, and I think the interesting thing about, like, the stories that you guys both shared about your first experiences with the Rapture and the Left Behind series as well is that it really shows the way the Rapture has been used by modern evangelical Christians as a method to fear-monger, like, with unbelievers, and to scare children into being, like, good Christian kids, you know, but also to comfort believers and older people who are scared of dying, period.
Totally.
Like, it's really been used to scare, but also the older generation finds that story genuinely comforting, which is honestly the most disturbing part about everything with Revelations.
I mean, it makes sense, right? So, like, Left Behind was written in post-Cold War. So post-nuclear crisis, where at the time what was happening, because it was early 90s, so I think Bill Clinton or George Bush might have been president at that point, but this is like after Clinton, maybe. I don't remember. I don't give a shit. But right, early 1990s, and the church at the time was drastically, well, not drastically changing because it kind of was changing a lot over the last 80 years, but like that's like around the time Mars Hill was created. Like I think Mars Hill would have been about 10 years later, but not the cool one with Rob Bell, the fucked up one with whatever the fuck his name is, angry boy Mick
Driscoll, right?
Yeah, Driscoll. And the LaHaye's had already been so prevalent in American culture at that point. Like they wrote a book that was on like Christian sexuality and marriage, which essentially was I think Beverly LaHaye had a very strong thing against Hillary Clinton, which is where the demonization of the Clintons came from, was actually the LaHaye's and some other people. But she was very much against feminism, very much for patriarchy, quote unquote, biblical patriarchy, woman submission, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so like they were really big on these different family focused efforts. I don't think they were involved with Focus on the Family from what I remember. And this was literally just me pulling up stuff that I remember reading in Jesus and John Wayne. But when they wrote that book, it was at a time when like post-sexual revolution, people were leaving fundamental Christianity. It was seen as boring and all this other stuff. But it really hints at the age-old like human necessity to know who is in and who is out, the tribalistic necessity, right? Because if the world is going to shit, which is what they thought the world was literally going to shit, society was crumbling apart, and like everything that they knew and loved, like all their power was leaving. Like if that's the case, they need some sort of hope to believe that like they're going to be okay. That if the world ends, don't worry, God's going to pull you out and you're going to be okay, but you have to be a believing Christian. You have to be without sin or else it's not going to happen. You have to be pure, right? So it's another I think it was around the same time that purity culture was also starting to get pushed, because that was a 90s movement. And so it's just, it's all these fear tactics. And like the church over the last 30 years specifically has been hellfire and brimstone, kind of birthed out of this book. Like freaking Tim LaHaye made some Christian fan fiction, just like freaking Dante with his Inferno, Paradiso, and Purgatorio. And the church decided to take that as fact and run with it. And that's like, it's fucked up. It's stupid. It makes zero sense.
Yeah. Well, and the thing with the book of Revelations is that it's treated as a prophecy by many Christians. It's like a prophetical text. But in actuality, it was not written as a prophetical text. It was an apocalyptic text.
Yep.
Which in this culture during the time was written like a prophecy to bring comfort to the people going through whatever world ending kind of thing they were experiencing. So for the Christian church at this time, it was persecutions from the Romans. They were being imprisoned, tortured, banished, killed, or being Christian. And out of that came the book of Revelations, which was essentially just to tell them that, hey, you're going to go through this stuff, but it will end soon, and you will be rewarded at the end of this, and all the bad people will be. So it's just to comfort people in the Christian church at that time.
Yeah. I mean, and apocalyptic literature is such an old, ancient type of writing that, like, doesn't exist at all anymore. At least not in this way, right? Like, it's highly metaphorical. It's typically written as a dream and can be from a dream. And how many of us have dreams that we remember every little aspect of it, right? And from research that I was finding, like, apocalyptic literature didn't even come up until post-exile Jerusalem. Or not Jerusalem, but Israel, right? With, like, Babylon took over, and then that's when the book of Daniel was written. And Daniel is the first book historically, at least in the Christian and Jewish Bible, that is apocalyptic, where Daniel has these dreams that are very vivid, very, like, you know, angels and all this other stuff. And like you said, it's all to give hope to the Jewish people who are in exile. They're all separated. Some of them are still in Jerusalem or Israel or whatever. Some are all the way scattered across the world as slaves. No shit, those kind of people need freaking hope. No shit, the early church needed hope when they were, like, getting their heads literally cut off, where they were being persecuted, where they had to, like, have church underground. Just like what, you know, Christians in America think today, I guess. But all of it had to do with the death of the kingdom. The physical kingdom, so Babylon, that's why Revelation uses the term Babylon as well. It's referencing that, where it uses the fall of Babylon or Rome and the rise of Jerusalem, the rise of New Jerusalem, right? And that's so much more beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, and that's, like, another big characteristic of these apocalyptic texts is that they use specific imagery to the culture or faith that they're speaking to, which is why it gets so misinterpreted today, is that it wasn't written for us and our culture, so we don't understand the nuanced symbolism that is used in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was intended for an ancient culture. It doesn't apply anymore.
Yeah, and I do think it is important, since we are talking about the rapture, because this is, like, getting to apocalypse. The apocalypse nowadays, obviously, you know, we're familiar with, like, a zombie apocalypse, a nuclear apocalypse, stuff like that, right? Where all but five people in the entire world are killed and whatever. The rapture, however, is a very unique idea that is totally lost in translation today. Not even just translation. I would say the idea is no longer exists, right? So, like, in the instances, I think it's Corinthians or Colossians, some shit, where it says, like, all will be gathered up into the heavens, right? And the word used there is they're going to be raptured up to the clouds, where they will meet the coming Messiah, the second coming of Jesus, right? I don't have that verse memorized because I don't give a shit. but, like, this idea of being raptured is an idea that comes from the culture, right? And so, like, nowadays, when a country goes to war, the president or whatever the monarch is, they don't typically go out to war, right? Like, we don't have, except for Zelensky. Fuck yeah. Zelensky is kicking ass and is, like, actually fighting. That's a different story. Biden, Trump, Obama, Bush, etc. Maybe they'll go out to, you know, the country wherever we're at war, and they will meet with the soldiers and try to boost morale, right? But back then, when Rome would go to war with someone, when Israel would go to war with someone, Babylon would go to war with someone, the king always went with their soldiers. And so the king would be gone from their kingdom from a certain period of time, however long that war took. And so when they came back from war, success or no success, the people would gather at the gates, meet the monarch figure, and crowd back in around them as the king re-entered their kingdom. So this term to rapture literally means to go up to the clouds, and it's this idea that Jesus is re-entering his kingdom, that we are all meeting our king to come back to his earthly kingdom. And that, and like, people think that when you get quote-unquote raptured, which first off, obviously, we've already talked about that, and we'll talk more, but like, Revelation isn't literal, so we're not going to be at war and all be dying and burning in hell or whatever. But even if we were, just because you go up to the clouds means you're coming right back down. The shit of the rapture in Tim LaHaye's book is not even accurate whatsoever, because it doesn't look at the fact that all will be here. You're not going to be saved if that is true.
Yeah.
Which I deeply don't think Revelation is to be read literal whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah, growing up with the LaHaye theory, and that's why I like to, that's what I like to call it. I like to call it the LaHaye theory, because it does not deserve any factual stance at all. Growing up with that being a prominent part of a lot of people's beliefs that I grew up with, like, I remember one of my teachers growing up at my private Christian school that has since shut down. I remember her, like, very specifically talking about how she truly believes that our generation will be the generation that that we will experience the rapture. Like literally, she's like, "You're the generation. I'm gonna be gone, but you guys, you're gonna experience Revelation. You're going to experience the rapture." I'm like, oh my God. Okay.
Everyone thinks sure. So.
Yeah, everyone thinks so.
And like, are they wrong?
All right, yes. Are they wrong?
Let me clarify. No. Let me clarify. Okay. I don't believe the world is going to end. Mm-hmm. Is America going to end? Probably. I think we're seeing the fall of New Rome, of New Babylon, whatever. That's my own opinion. But when we look at Revelation, right? What does Revelation mean?
God reveals the truth to humanity.
It's not even just God, though. Like, if I have a revelation, I just understand a new truth, right? And the term apocalyptic, when we're talking about it in this way, at least not now, it means to unveil.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So are they wrong in saying that this is a generation that is going to unveil a new truth?
No. I guess every generation unveils a new truth, if you think about it.
But like, look at what we're seeing happen right now in the realm of Christianity and post-Christianity and like all this deconstruction stuff and all that other stuff, right? Like, look at how much is, like, we're for the first time, and maybe not the first time, that's actually unfair to say, but at least on a wide scale with, like, multiple people, right now, at least what I have been noticing in various circles is a decolonized faith. Like, there's a book that I'm interested in, and I've only heard a little bit about it. It's called After Jesus, Before Christianity. And it's looking at the early church before Constantine created Christianity, because Christianity wasn't really the name of a religion. They were called Christians as we may be familiar of, like, an insult. But like, I forgot what I was saying. I had a brain fart in the middle of that. Oh, I remember now. Okay.
You got but, there. We got
yeah,
there.
Yeah. So for the first time, I think we are finally seeing Christianity being looked at from a non-Western lens, right? Or religion as a whole. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing different people, maybe this is me projecting my own changes and like people in my own direct circle, but I have seen it in other places, like when I go to Twitter, different groups I'm a part of, whatever, people are starting to unveil the truths that, oh, there's more to this Christianity thing than we've been told. Oh, these things that we've been told actually aren't historically, culturally, linguistically, literally, whatever, how you say that, they're not accurate. That's an unveiling. That's a revelation, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
So, I mean, maybe they weren't wrong. I don't know. Now, in their idea of what they wanted, right? Bonnie said no immediately. Yes. And what they intend, no, we're not going to see the world burst into flames, a giant dragon appear out of nowhere from Babylon or whatever, and a floating
city. Damn, it would be badass, though.
Honestly, it would be so cool and scary.
Man. Right. You just see on the news, giant dragon busts out of Babylon. You're like, the fuck? Ah, shit. We got it wrong this entire time. Holy shit. Like, that's the thing. If everything in Revelation were word for word going to happen, guaranteed, people would put the puzzle together. And then everyone would be like, yeah, this is Revelation. Holy shit. We solved it. We solved the Millennium Puzzle. Only the most dumbest of dumbasses would end up going to hell. And everyone else would be like, yeah, no, we saw this coming from a mile away. It's literally written down in
the conservative Bible. Right.
Yeah, I don't want them to be right. That's the thing. If this hypothetical scenario were to happen, at that point, who the fuck cares? But also, it's like, it's so painfully obvious that, like, now this God who was at first, like, the secret and quiet voice on the wind, or, like, one that would not, like, should not reveal themselves to be the one true God amongst all, in a way that would convince the entire world to be saved, so that the chosen few may go on to all eternity, or whatever the fuck you want to call it. And then all of a sudden Revelation happens, and then all this dumb shit happens, and you're... Even if it was just the rapture that was going to be taken literally. Are you kidding me? People will put that together so fast.
No, our mind wouldn't go to rapture. Our mind would go to, oh shit, Thanos is real. Like, I just was like, when you were saying that, I realized... Holy shit, they talk about these metal flying things or whatever. It talks about this giant dragon. That's literally the battle for New York in Avengers.
Sure.
And then Thanos later snaps and causes the rapture.
Huh.
It makes sense in my brain.
You know what? It does kind of make sense. And now that I'm viewing the MCU through that lens, I would love to see a fundamentalist evangelical character in the MCU that is convinced, like, corkboard and all, like it's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That corkboard scene is like, who's Pepe Silvia? Someone with that corkboard is going, it's the rapture! Holy shit! Holy shit, it's the rapture! Although that would be some, like, next level, like, lore shit. Like, I don't know if you know about the Beyblade Lord. The Beyblade.
No, lore. I don't know anything about Beyblade lore.
Yeah, yo, Beyblade. Apparently, Moses split the Red Sea with a Beyblade, according to Beyblade lore.
What the fuck?
It's so fucking dope. Look it up. It's real. I don't know why I went on this tangent, but here we are.
Anyways, I don't know. Anyways, I'm gonna let Bonnie or Jake take it away from me. Bonnie, get us back on track, please.
Gosh, I don't even know. Now you got me lost. but yeah, we have seen, like, the imagery from the Book of Revelations and the Rapture is something that's used a lot today.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Marvel, they have the Thanos has, like, the four people who go out before him,
the four horsemen.
Mm-hmm. There's also, like, Good Omens, which is essentially a retelling of the Book of Revelations, but, like,
mm-hmm.
from an angel and a demon who are supposed to watch the Antichrist and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, freaking Supernatural had two seasons that's literally going through the Book of Revelation.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was pretty cool. That was my headcanon for what the Bible said for a while.
Supernatural.
Yeah. When I didn't actually read the Bible. Yeah.
You know, I did meet a girl in freshman year of high school who was, like, proudly telling everyone she was a Satanist. And I was like, I listened to what she said for like 5 minutes. I didn't say anything. I just listened. And then I looked at her and I was like, you watch Supernatural, don't you? She's like, yeah, that's my favorite show. I can tell.
All right, guys, now you know the secret. Satanists just watch Supernatural. That's not true. That's not true, but you know.
That's not true, but I could tell by the way she was talking about God and Satan that it was taken directly from Supernatural and nowhere else.
Well, you see, you have this character named Lucifer who has to have permission to enter into someone's body because he's an angel. And then you have this guy named Castiel who's like God, and like, you know, he's super sarcastic and cool, but he's Misha Collins, so he's pretty hot, you know?
Yeah. That was essentially it, actually. Which yeah, is also off topic. That is
super hot. It is. But, you know, yeah, I mean, Revelation has been in so many different things. This idea of the rapture is everywhere. And historically, you know, like this idea of like, are you guys familiar with like the term pre-tribulation, post-tribulation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like you have all of that, all those theories, and then like dispensationalism. I don't even fucking know what dispensationalism really means. I just know what it kind of is. And like this shit came up just because some dude named Schofield decided to write like a layman's Bible, right? Like
right.
In the early 1900s, created the Schofield Bible, which had like it interpreted the Bible so that the layperson could read it. And like that's a cool idea. That's great. However, it was so highly political. Wasn't this also the guy that put homosexuality into the Bible? I could be wrong.
Yes.
Yeah, so he's like, wow, wait, okay. So this guy canonized the rapture, and he canonized in evangelical culture. He canonized that homosexuality was sinful in places that it doesn't talk about homosexuality, because it doesn't talk about the homosexuality at all in the Bible. And it additionally put in this idea of the rapture, which doesn't exist.
Yeah. No, and the interesting thing with Schofield and sexuality specifically is that a gay man actually wrote to him after he found out that homosexuality had been added to the Bible and explained why that was an incorrect translation. And Schofield actually changed his mind on it. He actually was like, you're right, that was a mistranslation, but it was too late to change the print. So not even the guy who wrote it actually believed it.
Why do people take this literally?
It's,
fucking,
yeah.
Fucking checkmate.
Why do people ever just fucking read?
Yeah. It's, and then, yeah, rapture was a complete mistranslation. It never appears in the original biblical text or whatever.
It's so stupid. So incredibly stupid. Because, like, it has harmed so many of us.
For real.
I had a youth kid who every week would come up to me with extreme anxiety over this idea of the rapture. And it was a new question after new question. I would always try to give like a historical place, try to give resources so that she could find her own information, but also try to teach like, hey, like I understand your anxiety is 100% valid. And this has been like hard, like used as a weapon against you, but it is not real. And I explained that so many times and tried to explain it as best as I could in different ways. But like the anxiety that it has on our culture, on our generations, specifically, I would say the millennials and Gen Z, is so horrible. For like the hashtag rapture anxiety to go trending on Twitter.
Right.
This idea has literally infected at least our country, because it's in popular media, and to the point where people genetically alter, what is it, a cow to create a ginger cow, because that's somewhere in the Bible and hints at the end times, quote unquote. And then to where every time that there's a war or like this disease, like COVID, right? COVID was a huge one.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime. Well, and
every political figure you don't like is the new Nero, you know?
Yeah. Oh, Obama, that one was straight up racist. Because like, oh, he's a black man from the East. And as Obama, I'm like, well, first off, dude came from Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What? Like, oh my God. It's so fucked up and incredibly really infuriating.
It's just so fucked. And especially when it comes to like political figures. I mean, this whole entire 4 years of Trumpism, like, so rooted in quote-unquote biblical truth, how they treated him as almost a second messiah. Like,
still treat him.
Holy shit. Yeah, there's
people that still treat him like a second messiah. He's like, what the fuck? He's just a dude. Talk about false idols. Jesus Christ.
And the fact that it's a very real possibility that he might be our president again. And, like, that's, like, what? Like, are we living in the same world?
Like, it's like waking up and going, y'all seeing this shit? Y'all seeing this? It's here. What the fuck?
Right, but I think that's why Revelations keeps coming back up in society, is that there's literally always things going on in the world that could point to it. There's always a famine somewhere. There's always a war somewhere. There's always going to be a political figure that you don't like who's in power. Like, there's always going to be that, and you can always use that towards, like, this end of the world theory.
Yeah, and, like, when I look at the things that we've already talked about with what Revelation means, with what Daniel means, what all this apocalyptic literature means, the prophecies, right? Like, a prophecy literally is just to energize and critique a culture, or critique a culture and energize it for change. That's what a prophet's job is. Apocalyptic literature, similarly, is to energize change and hope, right? And so, like, when I think of that, like, yeah, does Revelation have a place today? Yes. As how it's been weaponized against us? No. But in the true way of, hey, there are people in this world in different countries and different settings. Like, what I would argue is the true church, those of us who are decolonizing and deconstructing and who are fighting against toxic religion, right? And, like, actually advocating for all the things that Jesus actually said to advocate for versus divisive stuff and hate and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? When I look at that and I'm like, okay, there is hope. We are seeing the death of America, so the death of the world as we know it, or at least my world, or at least their world, whatever you want to say. But something new and something beautiful has the opportunity and chance to arise. That's beautiful to me. That gives me hope, right? That gives me like every time that I want to throw in the towel, like, I'm done fighting the system. Every time I remember, there is hope. Something new is coming. And it's true, something new is coming. I can feel it. And you can see it if you pay close enough attention, right? But it's obviously, that's a completely different interpretation of what Revelation actually is. Which, Revelation also almost didn't get canonized.
Right.
Because it's fucking weird. But, like, the hope that like John of Patmos, whatever, was writing to the early church, like, again, these people were literally being killed for what they believed, for following some Jewish rabbi who fought the system in a very subversive way and was trying to urge people into a new way of living, a new way of being people. And they decided they wanted to follow him, knowing that the dominant culture was going to persecute and attack them and make them unsafe. But they continued to do so out of hope that their efforts would not be in vain. That's beautiful.
Yeah, the true message of Revelations is beautiful when you strip away all, like, the harmful rhetoric that's been attached to it.
Yeah.
But there's so much trauma with it that I think it'll probably be, like, a full generation before this book is fully, like, before there's a widespread new understanding of the book. I think that will take, if that ever happens, at least a generation. Because I know my grandma, my neighbors, all the older Christians I know are love talking about end times and are excited for the rapture, and, like, so it's going to take some time before that kind of mentality is
totally
and
I think, like, what is cool or what and like going off that, I think what we're going to see is Gen X and the boomers, right? Those are the ones that are continuously causing this kind of thing to happen, and some new millennials, some Gen Zers obviously who are raised in the evangelical and fundamentalist culture. But I think what we will see is the generation after Gen Z, whatever that is, and that will be the first generation where it's widespread, because I think it's going to be the millennials who write about it and who are uncovering this research, Gen Z who's going to spread the message, and the next generation after that who finally lives it out.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so fuck you, Kirk Cameron. Nicolas Cage, fuck you sometimes.
I firmly believe he a good actor or is he a bad actor?
Yes and yes.
Nicolas Cage can turn a good movie bad and a bad movie good. That is my final stance.
Yeah.
I mean, the only exception is National Treasure. The only exception.
Oh, it's so good. Such a good movie.
You guys remember that episode of Community where Abed takes a class on Nicolas Cage and if he's good or bad, and it drives him crazy?
Yes. That's such a good episode.
Every time I think about Nicolas Cage, I think about that
Community episode. He literally starts adapting his personality. Oh, Community is so good.
Nicolas Honestly, Cage, there's a lot with Community, too. Like, what that movie Abed makes where he's Jesus.
Abed? Yeah.
the movie.
Yeah, Abed the movie.
The movie.
I wonder if that's a movie that they'll eventually come out with. But yeah, that movie in and of itself was very interesting because it's just all political, social, religious commentary.
Right.
Yeah.
But that also has nothing to do with the rapture, so.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else? I feel like we talked about enough that we need to talk about with the rapture personally, but is there anything else that you guys think is important or
One final message. Don't give into the fear mongering.
Yeah.
That's it. it's all people trying to drum up more political jargon and drama. Just, you don't have to succumb to it. You can ignore it if you'd like. Just go about your day knowing. Especially if you have rapture anxiety, go throughout your day like the rapture's not going to happen, because it probably won't. According to the actual text of the Bible, if you were to take it word for word, even the rapture's not the way that Tim LaHaye is going to like phrase it. That's the thing. So
it's just Christian fan fiction.
Just Christian fan fiction, and you need to realize that some fan fiction turns into 50 Shades of Grey, and other fan fiction turns into My Immortal. And in the case of Tim LaHaye, it falls more into the fraction of, actually, they're both kind of terrible.
I'm sorry, My Immortal is a masterpiece.
It is a
masterpiece. I will not tolerate the slander.
I will say, if you do experience the rapture anxiety, you are not alone. There are a lot of people who experience that. It is incredibly valid. And it's incredibly heartbreaking that is what our culture has to deal with. And so I would encourage you, like, hopefully our words can be helpful in that knowing the world is not going to end, at least not anytime soon, right? Science tells us it's going to be a long time for now. But it's also probably not going to be anything like what the quote-unquote rapture is going to be or whatever, like what Tim LaHaye says or what fundamentalists say the revelation is going to be. But try to find hope in the beauty of the actual message, that there is a great unveiling happening, that there is a revelation that is happening amongst our culture, amongst our generations, and that there is hope for the birth of something new. And that's not to say people, oh, you need to be Christian. No, I think this is going to be something that's more post-Christian, be something closer to what, you know, Christianity might have been before Constantine. But go to a trained professional, talk to them, talk to a trained professional to talk through your anxiety. If you like, look for therapists that specialize in like spiritual trauma. They exist, I'm pretty sure. If not, wait 3 years and come to me. That's what I'm going to specialize in probably. But find a therapist, find some friends, do what you can to work through that, because it's valid, but it is also not the reality that you can live in. There is more out there. And so it's getting yourself to that point that is important.
Hell yeah.
So rapture, I barely know her.
Yep. Only said it like 7 times at this point. 7 times? 7 is the number
seals?
Of... I don't know, has something... Seals? 7
seals.
7 seals? Seals go art? Art is the first letter of revelation? Oh my god!
News. Fucking news.
It's the fucking news. We have fucking news and fucking news and a bunch of fucking news. I'm not going to do the rest of the song. I don't even... That sounds familiar, and I can't place it.
Real Morb heads will know. Y'all watch Morbius?
Oh, okay, yeah, I did not watch Morbius.
Yeah, no, that was a lie. That has nothing to do with Morbius. If I wanted to do Morbius, I would have sung the Have Sex
song. What?
Okay, well...
It's real. Oh my...
Okay, no, we're just going to move forward on this. We'll get to that later. Yeah, we'll get to that later. Cool. Well, welcome to this section of the fucking news. This week, we have a continuation of Texas bullshit.
Texas bullshit. We should get like a custom like a sound that we use every time.
I'll leave that to you, Jake. You're the one with the soundboard.
Okay, I'll find it, and we'll have it for next time. Every time we talk about Texas bullshit! Yeah! Or something.
Yeah, please clip that exact sound. No. Just that part. Yeah! This week in Texas bullshit, Texas is now trying to ban all children, all minors, from going to drag shows. That's it! That's what they're doing. Why? Because they say it's harmful and abusive. And yet, they are ignoring the harm and abuse that typically happens from children and youth pastors towards children with actual abuse.
Crazy. It's so damn crazy. Why? Also, like, it just goes to show how people will look at drag queens and only sexualize it. And it is, for me, I look at all the politicians in Texas, they see a drag show and they're like, oh, this can only be sexual because they themselves are turned on by the drag queens.
Once again, Greg Abbott is gay.
Yeah, Greg Abbott. More like Gay Abbott.
Nerd, welcome. Well, I don't want him to be part. Ew, I don't want to. No.
We're gatekeeping Greg Abbott, but only Greg Abbott. Everyone else, you can come to the light.
Unless he like truly is like, you know, dare I say, repentant. And actively tries to make change and do health for the LGBTQ community. Otherwise, fuck off. No. But yeah, I saw a post.
You won't.
Yeah, you won't. I saw a post of some conservative, essentially. I thought it was a joke at first. Let me see if I can actually bring it up. I think I have the thing where they said it. But they, where was it? Fuck. God damn it. I just had it.
Where was it?
Then I lost it.
Daniel, where was it? Where was it?
Oh yeah, I can't find it. But essentially this guy, I legitimately thought it was satire. And this guy was saying like how drag queens are causing Christians to go underground and be persecuted, how drag queens are wanting to go across the country and exterminate all Christians, how drag queens are wanting to make being Christian outlawed in the country. Pretty much, you know, I think you can kind of get where this is heading, where he was literally labeling the actual persecution to, oh, Christians can't go outside and hold hands without fear of being ostracized by the public. Christians can't like publicly display affection with one another without being ostracized. And at first I thought this guy was being actually satirical. And then this guy comments again, guys, this is not funny. I'm genuinely serious. Like, at the end of the statement he said, and this is just remember, this is nothing like what the LGBT community has to go through. But like after that, like I'm like, okay, is that satire? That seems to be satire. And then he said, like, no, this is genuinely serious. Like being Christian is not safe in this country anymore. It used to be so safe and things used to be so much better, but nowadays it's so bad. And it's all the drag queens' faults.
Oh man. Honestly, I think that a lot of drag queens would get kind of euphoria for knowing that they're ruining some people's day just by existing. I do know that it's not the case for everyone, though, and it's not necessarily all homophobia. It's just, and it's not transphobia either. I mean, it's rooted in both homophobia and transphobia, but like, you know, what has a drag queen ever done against anyone? Like the only instances that people get that they're scared of is what is it? Silence of the Lambs. A lot of people are like causes a lot of like homophobic and transphobic fear. Because really? I believe other than Hannibal Lecter, the main antagonist of that story is a I don't want to make it valid in any sense of the word, but it is a very very transphobic portrayal of someone going through a gender identity crisis. It does not hold up, unfortunately. As much as people love Silence of the Lambs, it is not a great portrayal of a someone who's going through a gender crisis and.
Yeah, because they're like having a gender crisis and thus was projecting that insecurity onto women that had like the physique that they were looking for, right? And was like trying to kill them. That was a whole plot, right?
Yeah, it's this whole thing. And like, I think that a lot of there are a lot of people, and that's the thing. A lot of horror movies are like, are like that. You can say that Psycho is a bad portrayal of someone going through they're going through an identity crisis and like entirely, but you could also say because Norman Bates truly believes that he is becoming his mother at some point, it is like that is absolutely it's like people see that and are very transphobic because they see Norman Bates thinking that he is his mother, and then everyone, and then they're like, oh, so anyone who's trans is just schizophrenic and has thinks that they have voices in their head and whatnot, and it's like that's yeah. Not it. No.
Yeah, honestly, a lot of media portrays a lot of things in a very negative light. Like, I'm reading a book right now called My Body Is Not Your Prayer Request that is about, like, disability theology. And she named, the writer names all of the shows that have perpetuated negative stereotypes about disabled folks. So, essentially saying, like, people who are faking it. So, like, they brought up, like, I think New Girl does it, How I Met Your Mother does it, Law and Order has done it, Criminal Minds. Like, pretty much every major show that a lot of people have watched, and a lot of them I love, like How I Met Your Mother, New Girl, but they have portrayed disabilities in a very negative light and have made it seem like people are always faking it. Like, that kind of stuff is incredibly fucked, right? Because, like, It's putting in the assumption and putting in these fears, like Jake was just saying, that just because it's like this in this one show or this one instance doesn't mean that's everyone, right? Not every person, and I would say it's actually incredibly rare for someone who is in a wheelchair to be faking it, or someone who is a psychopath is trans, or that someone just because someone's trans means they're psycho. Like that's a jump in logic that makes zero sense, right? But it's toxic because it's in our media. It's everywhere.
100%.
Yeah. So, well, anyways, Texas is being stupid.
Barney's stuck on their bullshit.
Yeah. Barney, did you have any thoughts on the Texas stuff?
I have many thoughts. Number one is that they're more concerned about the harm drag queens are causing children than mass shootings at schools.
Yep.
Honestly, like, these conservative politicians would rather ban children from drag shows than guns from schools, and that is...
in a state that just had a giant mass shooting, yeah.
Right, especially in Texas, yeah. Uvalde just happened, and already they're moving on to the next issue.
Yeah. So why... yeah, yeah. I can't spend any more mental capacity on that.
Yeah, no, it's... I barely had any mental capacity for that for weeks.
Yeah. But well, let's just end the we'll end the news story there. Because yeah. it's God.
News is over.
Yeah. So for Kenneth's story this week, we have an update on Mr. Palmer. Some of y'all might remember him from one of our first episodes, our interview with Sebastian. If you did not listen to that, go back and listen. It's a pretty good episode. Sebastian shares his story of discovering his sexuality during youth group. And we talked a bit about, you know, sexuality in the Bible and stuff. So yesterday I reshared, a friend had posted something that was saying the American flag drips with blood. There are reparations that need to be made and much repentance required. For example, we live on stolen land. No, we can't, or yes, we can't change or take back what's been done. However, we can live proactively as agents of reparation and healing. No, we as individuals can't change the whole system. However, together, we can make a difference. There is so much more. And they use red, white, and blue hearts. I love that. So I said, we must, so I reshared it and also added, we must learn how to respect and thank this land as well as those who inhabit it. That means everyone, right? We are all connected. There's so much beauty in that fact. I wonder what would change if we would see and celebrate the beautiful diversity and treat one another with unconditional love that virtually every wise person throughout history has tried to get us to experience. Sounds pretty good, right? What possibly could a white conservative boomer say?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, the message is long. About
to find out.
Mr. Palmer goes... Hey, Daniel. Well, you know, the way of the world in the 17th century was conquest. The way of the world in the 17th century was slavery. Some of the brightest people on earth back then yearned for freedom and opportunity. And on this land, they found it. Unlimited resources came together with freedom and science to create the most powerful nation ever known. What? 600,000 Americans, mostly from the North, died in the Civil War, by far the bloodiest in our history. And wait, is he saying that he's... okay. And just a few decades later, when World Wars I and II broke out in Europe and Asia, there was a powerful United States of America that sent food, oil, trucks, arms, ammunition, planes, ships, medicine, and every other thing needed to defeat the forces of fascism, Nazism, and imperialism. Is it American imperial? Okay. Along with the sacrifices of over 400,000 Americans' lives in World War II alone. Not quite sure Native Americans could have pulled that off. Well, that's racist. And they certainly would have.
Holy shit.
And they certainly would have been enslaved in short order. After the war, America, through the Marshall Plan, helped to rebuild that portion of Europe that was allied with us. And the other half of Europe was looted by the USSR and spent the better part of the next 45 years suffering under communism. I've never heard anyone claim this country was perfect, but what a shame, and just two or three generations removed from what many of us know as the greatest generation, it has come down to this. This country is a lot of money in debt. There isn't a dime out there for reparations, especially in a country where half the people don't pay a cent in federal income taxes and millions refuse to work because they seem to think it is beneath them. During the Great Depression, my father's generation would take any work they could find in order to feed their families because back then people had the novel idea that feeding their own children was a primary responsibility. So he posted that, and I said, hey, Mr. Palmer, I think you greatly misunderstood the point of this post and just did not, he did not respond, and I didn't say anything else.
Yeah. That's a big oof, Mr. Palmer.
Like,
come on, man.
That was racist. Supremacist. Blatantly racist, blatantly supremacist. I think I heard potential that he was, you know, pro-slavery, so pro-Confederacy.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah, because he mentioned that most people died in the North, like, fighting against slavery. And, like, you know, he is saying that the way of the world in the 17th century was slavery. That's not how it should be. And then it's saying that reparations are impossible because of all this. I'm like, you could give money. You could give resources. You could do more than what you're doing, which is nothing and actually harming. So, anyways.
Sorry for disappearing. One of my cats got out of the house and we can't find her, so.
Oh, no!
I'm gonna be gone for the rest of the episode.
No, please find your cat.
Thank you. Bye.
I'm so sorry. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, I think we're going to end there anyways.
Don't forget, skate fast, eat ass. That's our slogan.
Also, we are going to go into a petty prayer with Gabe, but I do want to mention what he texted me as we were recording. Remember to pray the straight away and gay the pray away.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah. So now here is a petty prayer with Gabe.
Jesus, if you're still coming back, can you please wait until after I've had my first experience with intercourse? Thank you.
Amen.
Gabe-man.
You're going to have to resync that in post, but yeah.
Sweet. Well, thank y'all for listening. Bonnie, we hope you found your cat by the time this episode comes out. I'm sure we will know. Everyone, please send good vibes and or prayers if you would like. It'll be a few days after this event, but we really hope Bonnie finds her cat. Other than that, come to OC Pride. Come see us.
Woo!
Yeah. All right. Well.
All right. Bye.
I'm sorry. Oh, I thought you were going to say, I'm sorry, Mom. Are you no longer apologizing to your mom?
She doesn't deserve it. She ditched me for an entire month.
For a month?
Yeah.
God damn. All right. Yeah, no. We're not saying I'm sorry, Mom, this episode. No.
One of our backers.
And if you would like to email us about literally anything, you hate us, you like us, you want to be with us, whatever, I don't care, email us at angstychristianpodcast@gmail.com. Also realize when I said that, it sounds like you want to be in a relationship with us. Well, two of us are single, but please don't. That's weird.
I'll hold your hand.
Anyways, all music is done by Brad Tsushima. He is a homie. Thank you so much, Brad. We love you.